We're back to looking at the Giants draft class as well as the undrafted rookie free agents. And on today's show, we are going to be talking with Candace Cooper, host of Locked On ACC, about the ACC draft picks and rookies. That's coming up next on the Locked On Giants podcast.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast family. Your team every day. My name is Patricia Traina. Thank you so much, everybody, for making the Locked On Giants podcast your first listen of the day, or if watching on YouTube, your first watch of the day. And as we have been saying all week long, we are continuing our look at the Giants draft class. And today we're also going to look at a few undrafted free agents that happen to come or be linked through the Giants. They're from the ACC conference. So here to help me break it all down is a lady that I absolutely adore. She's so good at what she does. You've got to check her out. She is Candace Cooper. She is the host of Locked On ACC. Candace, thanks so much for coming on with me. So good to see
Yeah,
you.
of course. So good to see you as well. Thanks so much for having me. I always get a treat when I get to talk about Giants, but also with another lady co-host, because at the end of the day, you get tired talking to men all the time. You know, sometimes it's just nice to have a breath of fresh air.
I can vouch for that. So, girl power today on the pod. I love it. All right, Candace, let's jump in. The Giants, they double dipped on the offensive line at North Carolina. So, I've got to start there. I've got to ask you, what do you think it is about the North Carolina offensive line that was so appealing to a team like the Giants, considering, you know, they're bringing down a little bit of that Buffalo deep, excuse me, that Buffalo offense, a little bit of that Kansas City offense. So what was it, do you think, about North Carolina's O-line that just made them say,
You know, Patricia, it's really funny you asked me that because when I saw both guys get drafted, I was a little bit shocked myself. One, because Josh Sweeney went before Sam Howell, who was like the big name for Carolina. But two, if you just look at last season, who, you know, Sam had to be guarded by, Josh Sweeney and Marcus McKeithen weren't exactly, you know, names that I would be like, yes, they've been protecting him this entire time because he was running for his life pretty much all season. And so I was a bit shocked that the Giants wanted to take two offensive linemen from Carolina, because that definitely was a pain point for Carolina's offense. However, I do think when you break down individual achievements and capabilities, both are certainly going to be heavy hitters when it comes to the NFL. So I think when it came down to it, when you talk about tandems, they were both there. It kind of just worked. And I think when you know guys who play together, it almost is a perfect scenario for you, especially when you talk about O-line and trying to be in sync. Especially knowing going into this season, that's what they'll need to protect Daniel Jones, who is certainly going to be the talk of the town up there in New York.
Indeed. And, you know, this is a make or break season for him. And, you know, I suspect these two offensive linemen that they took, the Giants took, probably more developmental prospects. But let's break each one down. Let's start with Joshua Ezeudu. He's a guard. I believe he has some tackle ability, if I'm not mistaken. Tell us a little bit about his pros and cons. Where does he excel? Where does he still need to grow?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think Josh is really good with his footwork. I think he's someone who can play nearly every position on the line. He's certainly one who is really smart. Like, I think that's one thing sometimes we take away from like how the big guys have to make sure they maneuver and ensure that they're protecting, you know, the quarterback and running back. But he's very good at his position. He's very skilled and talented. I think he's one of those guys. He's a kind of a silent leader, not exactly the one who's going to be screaming at you most vocal, but he is definitely going to tell you the right things, which is always an important attribute. And I think one thing he can certainly work on is some of those technical skills. Like, you know, when just, and of course, I've never been on the field myself, but when it comes to like wrapping, making sure you block correctly. And I think when he gets guys on the inside as he's preparing for these blocks, he certainly is someone who can make a name for himself, but he does have to develop his technique. And I think that's something, of course, when you get to the big leagues, they work with you, especially you have those specialists, you have guys who are going to take that time. But as you mentioned, it's going to be a growing process. But I think of the two, Josh is certainly someone who could make a case for himself to start going into week one.
Interesting. Do you see him more of as of an interior player, or is he more of a fit for, you know, like a swing tackle type of job?
Yeah, I see him more of an interior player. I think as swing tackle, I think he can get exploited a little bit. I think if he has to try and block pass rush or any of those kind of attributes, he might go missing. But if you just give him time, I think from someone who's watched a lot of Carolina football, it's a lot of patience. But when they get it right, they do great, right? They do an excellent job, and I think they execute pretty profoundly on that line. It's just a matter of being consistent and then just having the confidence. I think that's one thing. If you know Josh Adudu's story, he deals with stuttering and he has just had like this developmental things growing in. Personally, I think as he grows into his confidence of himself as a person, he can continue to grow, you know, as a player.
Let's talk a little bit about that, actually, because, you know, it did come out that, you know, he had a stuttering problem growing up, that he overcame it, you know, was working on his confidence. I mean, what can you tell us about your observations from him, the time he walked on campus to the time basically he's leaving campus, the growth you've seen in his confidence?
Yeah, absolutely. I think someone who had to be sort of a leader on, you know, on the front lines, especially as he grew into the starting role and position, you have to feel that confidence to speak up and, you know, share plays and make sure everyone's on the right accord. So I think as he got older, he kind of understood for lack of better term, the colloquialism, he understood the assignment, right? He understood what value it brought for him to really build that confidence and work on his speech and then just share his story. I think sometimes a lot of guys get a little bit insular when they're trying to like let people know what they have going on. But with the way he was able to just share what he was dealing with and hopefully inspire young kids who do have, you know, speech impediments or speech issues and want to be at the position that he's in, I think it helped him be kind of that role model and really want to grow into that role and ultimately be that step up guy that he's certainly been for the Carolina offense.
Certainly an inspiration, like I said, you know, because a lot of people are, you know, afraid to speak up if they do have a speech issue. And, you know, I applaud the young man for coming through and telling his story in first person, actually, for Newsweek, I believe it was. And that was certainly a fascinating story. But let's now just bounce back to his play for a moment on the field. I want to talk about his intangibles. You know, what kind of a player is he? Is he a bulldog type? Is he, you know, passive? Is he a finesse guy? How would you best describe his play style?
Sure. I think he's definitely more of a finesse style guy. He's not going to be one who's just like a big bulldog. I think we're going to talk about the bulldog next. But certainly Josh Adudu is one who is going to be very consistent. I think he's one who is going to give you great plays rep after rep. And no matter what you throw at him, he is going to be able to deliver for you. I think one thing about Carolina's offense is that they tried to like keep it simple. And I appreciate oversimplification when it comes to offenses. At times we try and make it too busy. I think one thing that Carolina struggled with was RPO, which both McKeith and Azudu will have to work on. But I certainly think that Josh is one who, again, consistent with his reps, one who is not going to give up on himself. And I think, again, like we mentioned, from personally overcoming things, he is going to be the guy who goes out there and tries and shifts if need be. So if you need him in one position, he's going to know all five, right, to be out there on the line. But if he needs to go ahead and rotate, he'll do what needs to be done.
All right, Giant fans, we have more coming up on today's Locked On Giants podcast. But first, imagine dipping your finger into that plastic tub of birthday cake frosting and then opening your eyes and realizing that it was only 150 calories and had 16 grams of protein. That is what it's like to eat a birthday cake puff from Built. I just received my birthday cake puffs order about a few days ago, and boy, I have never tasted anything like this before. They're available right now, this limited time of flavor. And we can't promise that they will be there tomorrow. So go get them today at Built.com. Make every day your birthday with Built's birthday cake puffs. Built has taken the delicious experience of biting into a fresh slice of birthday cake, enrobed it in 100% white chocolate, and even added sprinkles. And again, folks, it's really good. The puffs just absolutely melt in your mouth. And the good thing about them is that they're made with collagen protein, which your body can absorb more efficiently and which also provides a ton of health benefits. So where else are you going to find a tasty treat that's protein packed, has collagen, is good for you, and is low carb, low sugar, and low calorie? You're just not going to find that anywhere in any chocolate bar or any candy bar for that matter. So go to builtbar.com today to get your birthday cakes puffs now and use our promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your first order. All right, now let's talk about Marcus McKeithen. Round five, number 173 overall. You mentioned that he's a bit of a bulldog. Give us an overview on him.
Yeah, Marcus is just huge. Like, we can just start there from athletic ability. He is one of those guys who is going to make defenders pay. He, a lot of times, Brian Anderson, who played center for Carolina, spoke to the fact that he loved doubling up with Marcus because he just knew guys would end up on their back. He just knew that he was going to come in charging and always be that big broad force when it came to that offensive line. So I think that's something that the Giants have desperately needed. Someone just that big aggressive energy, right? Someone who is going to make those defensive guys pay for trying to run up. And he's good at he's great hands. I think his footwork is certainly going to get better, but his hands, once he gets you in there, it's going to be a tough time to get that quarterback.
Where does he project? Is he more of a left guard, a right guard? Does he have some growth for center, maybe?
See, I think he's more of a left or right guard. I think personally would love him at right guard. I think that he also is probably going to end up on the practice squad. I think this is definitely a year for him to continue, you know, as strong as you can get, but more so that skill set, as we mentioned, just trying to get some of the tools and fundamentals down. Like, it's one thing to be athletic and big, but let's use that, you know, in the right way. So I certainly think he is probably going to be one of those guys that's going to be on the cusp, but I honestly think that he's going to be practice squad year one and then really kind of break out year two.
And of course, you know, all rookies coming in, they have to build up the strength. What about as a person? Let's talk about some of the intangibles, you know, with football intelligence, you know, just what kind of a person do you know him to be?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think he, you know, along with a great interview I was reading about with Coach Longo, just mentioning how Marcus is just always willing and ready to go, whatever, very much a player's coach, doesn't want to disappoint and definitely wants to step up in ways that whatever is needed, he'll be right there. And I think with the new regime for the Giants, it's going to be so important, right? You already have someone who's kind of learning as they go. They all grow together. They're all having like this first year to be great. So I'm really excited to see how he kind of uses that being coachable ability, especially someone who might not be a starter right away. Can he not get frustrated and discouraged, and he can still use sort of that football IQ to really learn, get in that playbook and make sure that he's ready to go should his number get called.
You know, there's the old saying, iron sharpens iron. And I should have asked you this actually about Isuzu. So I'll ask you to lump the two together here, but who were some of the names that went on to the NFL that these guys practiced against so that we can kind of, you know, get a gauge for how they might perform?
Yeah, great question. Charlie Heck was one that they played with. You know, they were both two young guys, but certainly they've had a great opportunity. And you also look at Brian Anderson, who will be, you know, playing next year, and he has 1 year left of eligibility. So I think he'll be great for them. And you look at guys like Jordan Tucker, who, for God forbid, he can't help himself to not, you know, hold sometimes, but very talented. So I think for them, it's just Charlie Heck was the big voice. And he had to learn how to be more vocal. And then it kind of got passed down to Josh Isuzu, learning to be more vocal, right? Having to step up and be that leader for them. So I think that those are the biggest guys, I think, if I could say, in terms of dynamic duo. But hey, them learning together right now is almost great for the Giants because they both want to step up. They both know that their names got called, but they know there's a lot of work to be done.
And there's certainly something to be said. You know, when you're a rookie coming into a new city, new team, a new environment, having a familiar face, I'm sure, is going to help, you know, ease some of the nervousness, if you will, that they're going to experience when they hit the field. All right, Candace, now the Giants were also linked to three other players, one from North Carolina. Let's start, we'll start there. But I just want to mention the three undrafted free agents. There's defensive end Tamon Fox, cornerback Tobias Oliver from Georgia Tech, and running back Jashaun Corbin from Florida State. So let's start with Fox here, since we're on the North Carolina kick here. What can you tell us about Fox?
Yeah, Tamon, he was one of my favorite players, you know, watching Carolina football. And I truly believe that he has the skill set to be a beast for the New York Giants. At Carolina, he ended up breaking Lawrence Taylor's sack record, which is very hard to do. And it's not an easy feat. And I think for someone like that to stay that extra fifth year, kind of give himself time to grow, heard the murmurs about what he needed to improve on, and just to talk about what Carolina defense was, right? He didn't exactly have the breakout years that he was looking for, but, you know, alone, he was certainly a great defender. And I think that's something when we talk about Giants defense and how historic that is, he's going to a great organization. And I don't think he has to be like a Lawrence Taylor. I don't necessarily feel like he is you know, Lawrence Taylor is one of one, right? Let's start there. But I certainly feel like Tamon has the opportunity to grow and be a part of some great, you know, linebacker legacies and just be one of those guys who can be a part of good team building and just guys who want to be different. I think with the new era, I know I keep saying it, but it's really great to have this time to try and make yourself a name for yourself for the Giants.
Certainly. Now, Tamon Fox was listed as a defensive end. You mentioned a little bit outside linebacker role. Is that what he played mostly at North Carolina, or did he play a lot with his hand in the dirt as well?
Yeah, he played with his hand in the dirt, a little bit of defensive end. I think, you know, when it came to obviously getting those sacks records, you actually had to be a defensive end. But for me, I feel like he has the opportunity to be a back if he can, one, grow a little bit. I think just in terms of football IQ, and I never want to call anybody dumb or anything like that, but certainly something, a place where he could grow just in terms of making plays and being explosive. So I think it's really up to him. I think when they get there and when they look at him at rookie camp and they can decide for themselves, but I would love to see him be an end personally, because I think if he has the speed and agility to get off and certainly go after quarterbacks, but he definitely needs to grow just a little bit, just a little muscle milk never hurt anybody.
No, it didn't. Is he more of a strong side or weak side guy?
I would say strong side. I truly believe that he can just, I don't know how to put it. I'm trying to use like great appropriate analogies. I'm like, he's just, you know, a bull. Like, he's just one of those guys that I truly feel like he, if given the opportunity, is going to certainly just swallow guys up and like take lunch and take names. But he definitely has to have that right role and opportunity to do so. And I think it'll come for him.
All right. Sounds good. That's somebody certainly to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Because you can never have too many pass rushers. That's been said over and over in the Giants camp. And, you know, they finally got themselves a Batman and Robin with Kayvon Thibodeau and Azeez Ojulari. So I'm psyched about that. But hey, listen, got a plan for the future for sure. All right, Giant fans, we have more coming up on today's Locked On Giants podcast with Candace Cooper, our special guest. But first, betonline.net is the only place that offers the best information on the latest odds, contests, and player props for all your sports betting needs. No matter what sport you're into, betonline.net has you covered. Plus, they offer everything you need to know for live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. Head on over to betonline.net today to learn more about the trends and the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Let's talk about the other two undrafted free agents. We'll start with Georgia Tech's Tobias Oliver, a cornerback. Mm-hmm. Interesting selection here because, you know, at the Giants right now, we don't know what's going to happen with James Bradbury.
Right.
And although they drafted Cordell Flott from LSU, kind of a smallish guy, you know, some concerns about his size. But what can you tell us about Tobias Oliver?
Yeah, I think Oliver didn't get a fair shake at Georgia Tech. I think with what Georgia Tech kind of has been through the past couple of years, they're definitely looking at a coaching transition. But when he is on the field, he certainly has great opportunity to shine. And there's definitely flashes. He is really good when it comes to just one-on-ones with receivers. And I think overall, he's going to be a great, you know, mix for that secondary that Carolina Giants are looking for in order to really break up plays and just really be in the mix. He just needed, I think, a change. You know, sometimes people just be there. He's not a systems guy to where like it was Georgia Tech's issue. I think when he goes to New York, he'll certainly be a great addition immediately.
Okay. And I don't have his measurables in front of me, but how tall is he? Do you know?
I believe he is right at 6 feet, but of course, you know, they always say one thing and it's usually
6 feet in cleats, or is it 6 feet soaking wet? You know, the old tricks for sure. And is he a ball hawk? Do you know? I mean, or is he just one of these guys who's going to stick a hand in there and get at least break up a pass?
See, I would say he's more a stick a hand kind of guy. He's definitely going to break up plays. I wouldn't necessarily call him a ball hawk right away, but I honestly feel like if, again, given in the right situation with the right guys mentoring him, hopefully Bradbury sticks around, he certainly could make that name for himself.
And throughout college, did he kind of guard the top receiver? Was he, you know, second and man to man? What tell us what he played and kind of what his assignments usually were?
Usually it was man to man. And I think that oftentimes that you would see him guard the top receiver, but you know, when you look at Georgia Tech and their defensive as a whole, they were kind of just all over the place. So I don't even know if it was necessarily him issue where he would get burnt. I'm not going to, you know, sometimes people get burnt and that's okay. But right. So I think that ultimately it was just being in that system to where he wasn't set up for success. So I think as he grows into a position with maybe a more skilled coach, he certainly will be really great with top receivers. But more importantly, I think man to man, he's going to be awesome.
All right. Now let's talk a little bit about Jashaun Corbin, Florida State running back. Giants, interesting scenario, situation with their running back. They do have Saquon Barkley. They're hoping for a big year from him. They signed Matt Breida to back him up. And then they have a bunch of young guys, Antonio Williams, Sandra Platzkumer, and Gary Brightwell on the roster. So there could be room for this young man, if not on the 53, on the practice squad. A guy that I know his name was mentioned to me as somebody to watch. What can you tell us about him?
Yeah, I think Corbin honestly was one of the best running backs in the ACC. I think he has very explosive speed. I think he really is great at making guys miss, especially linemen. I think for me, one of the biggest issues is just with Florida State, you were forcing the running backs at times to pretty much carry the team because of the issues with the quarterback position. So I don't necessarily feel like the plays were always set up for him or any of the quarterback or the running backs really to be successful. But I think once you give him, you know, lane and opportunity, he certainly is going to create those holes for himself and certainly be explosive and learn from someone like Saquon is going to be certainly beneficial for him.
All right, so I see he's listed at 5'11", 202, but he looks, the pictures I'm looking at, which I know can be outdated, he looks a little on the slender side.
Muscle milk would have never hurt him. Maybe he can get with Saquon's, you know, squat plan for the summer and figure out a little bit how to add there. But I think with being slender, you know, sometimes that, you know, benefited him in terms of creating the holes. But, you know, obviously in the big man's league, it's going to be something where he's going to have to put on some weight if he doesn't want to, or shoot, if he wants to last a little bit longer. So it's definitely something to consider.
And, you know, for a running back, play speed is important, and decisiveness. How does he do in that area, in those areas, do you feel?
Yeah, I think he's great at hesitation. I think he's great in terms of just like kind of reading the defense and going off of that, not necessarily always just run and gun, trying to run through the middle or anything like that. So certainly areas he can grow is just being confident in his play. Sometimes you could tell the hesitation would almost get the best of him and he would do too much. So I think that's just an area that we hope to see him grow.
And does he have special teams experience, you know?
I can't recall if I saw him on special teams. I've saw Florida State play several times, but I don't remember his number being called in that regard. But I mean, listen, at the end of the day, if anybody wants to make a roster, they'll figure out how to be on special teams, you know?
Sure, definitely. And how is he as a receiver out of the backfield?
Yeah, he's decent as a receiver out of the backfield. I think it'll be, again, as we talk about just getting bigger, not getting swallowed up by some of the secondary defenses. Like even still when you see him match up against those guys aren't the biggest, but certainly bigger than 202. So he'll need to get his weight up. I think he's great with his hands, but, you know, always room for improvement for running backs who aren't necessarily dedicated at being the guys who can play both positions.
Okay, now final question. I know you said at the beginning of the program you were a little surprised that the Giants double dipped on the offensive line. But that being said, what's your gut feeling with these guys? I mean, do you think it's going to be a case of, you know, one and done, or that we're going to regret it? Or do you think there's legitimately something there that they can work with the Giants to turn these guys into contributors? Maybe not this year, but maybe down the line.
You know, I think at the end of the day, they are in the best position for where the Giants are right now. They're not in a desperate win mode in terms of coaching staff, that people are fighting for their jobs, so they don't feel that pressure to kind of make them be great instantly. I think there is time for growth and development. And like you had mentioned, just playing together is always going to be the best benefit, especially when you have to be in sync. It's almost like a play, right? Or even a choreographed group. You have to be aligned. And so to have somebody who you really have played with for so long, you can kind of know their pace and their rhythm. I think it's going to be essential for them, especially for a Giants offensive line that's going to have to be great and really protect Daniel Jones, right? This is his year to figure out who he is. And so I think if he has some guys that he truly trusts and kind of builds that camaraderie, they should be good to go. So I'm hoping, and I feel good about it. This is first year in a while I felt good. I think because I feel good about the coaching staff, I'm really confident to see how the two dynamic duos out of Carolina step up. But I'm not going to lie to you. I was a little nervous when I saw Carolina. I'm like, okay, we're taking two offensive linemen. It's one thing to take one, but you know, when you break down the individual talents and abilities, I think both are really great. And maybe now that they're in a different system, they'll flourish.
All right. Now, you mentioned Duke, so I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, because Daniel Jones, of course, came from Duke.
Yeah.
You saw a lot of Daniel Jones when he was there. I don't know how much you've seen of him with the Giants, but based on what you have seen, have you seen growth in him? I mean, a lot of people say, oh, he has, you know, he's stuck in the mud. He hasn't really grown as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. I've seen some issues that have repeated year and year, but I want to get your take, because you did see him at the college level, and I wanted to see what you thought about it.
Yeah, I would have never expected Daniel Jones to be picked as high as he was, but I certainly think he has stepped up bigger than probably anybody expected. And there was a lot of comparison if you think about him and Mitch Trubisky in just terms of how high they were picked in terms of where they were skill level. I think Daniel Jones has done all right. I think he hasn't necessarily had the offensive line to help him. I think he hasn't necessarily had the coaching staff to help him. Like, I agree, you know, with the GM and feeling like they need to give him an opportunity, and the owner feeling like they need to give him the best opportunity to be successful. Now, I'll say all that to say, Daniel sometimes tries to play hero a little too much. I think for his own safety, I think that he's going to have to let some plays just die and go and not try to force the yardage. He can't get your bell rocked and like not be able to finish games, especially if you're the starting quarterback. So I think that's one of the things going into this season, they're going to have to either figure out how to protect him better, or he's going to have to figure out to just let it go. Cause there have been some scary moments for Daniel Jones that I'm glad he's tough. I'm glad he's trying to be the man, but it's not going to help if you're sitting on the sidelines, you know?
Yeah. Thank you. See, I've been screaming the same thing about Daniel Jones. That, and the other thing that bugs me is that some of the decisions he makes are just like, oh, man, what are you thinking, man? You
know? He honestly reminds me of Sam Howell, because I used to say that about Sam Howell all the time. I'm like, what went through your mind when you ran that play? Like, why did you just live to see another down, or why did you force the issue? And I think Daniel Jones is a little bit of the same. Like, don't force the issue. If it's not there, it's not there.
Yeah.
Don't try and be the hero. But I think at the end of the day, sometimes, you know, male bravado, they try and be tougher than they are, but he's going to find out quick that he's going to have some sort of change this season if he wants to be the starting quarterback going into next year, because there are a lot of good quarterbacks in next year's draft.
Well, my crazy theory is that he's maybe, because he's following in Eli Manning's footsteps, and Eli was so great for the franchise for a number of years, maybe there's a little bit more pressure he's putting on himself to be like Eli Manning as far as results go.
Yes.
And if
yes.
that's the case, it's like, dude, be you. Don't be
right.
Eli Manning. You know, you can,
100%.
You can still get the results, but don't try to duplicate what Eli did with, you know, the play streak, the toughness streak, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Just be smart about it.
Right.
If you want to be like Eli, be smart like Eli was. And that's how I see it.
Right. You gotta be there if you want to be like Eli. That's for one. Like, Eli definitely took a turn towards the end of his career. But I mean, I think at the end of the day, Eli also has a different personality. I think Daniel could certainly benefit from just relaxing. Like, I think he just needs to relax a little bit more, and all the pressure of playing in New York, I'm sure, is overwhelming at times, but hopefully this season he just learns to breathe and play his own game.
Amen. Well said, Candace. Well said. All right. That's Candace Cooper. She is the host of Locked On ACC. Check her out. She is so awesome. I'm so happy I got to catch up with you. I love seeing that smile. This was fun for me.
Yes.
I mean, a rare woman-to-woman podcast.
Yeah.
So, Giant fans, I hope you enjoyed it. We're going to continue our look at the Giants draft class. We'll talk also about some of the undrafted free agents that have been linked to the Giants as we go down the list, and we'll see who syncs up with the various hosts. But plenty more coming up on the Locked On Giants podcast. Keep it here. Thank you so much for making us your first listen of the day, or if watching on YouTube, your first watch of the day. For Candace Cooper, I'm Patricia Traina, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, Giant fans.